The words of I Have a Dream, one of the most symbolic moments of the civil rights movement in America. President Obama to address the crowds at the site of the speech in 1963, the Lincoln Memorial in Washington. He's joined relatives of Martin Luther King in Washington today. Let's cross to our studio in Canterbury and talk to George Conine, a historian who specialises in American constitutional, political and diplomatic history with a big interest in the civil rights era. He's on the line. How important was this speech?
It was a very important speech because so much of the civil rights movement was successful because of what it was able to communicate to the white majority in the United States. If they had had just to rely on word of mouth, local press coverage, and so forth, nobody would have heard about the marches and the sit-ins that were the warp and woof of the movement. However, a major march on Washington, attracting national attention, this was the sort of thing that was going to grab the attention of white Americans in a way that they had not had their attention grabbed before. And this is a crucial moment in that really public relations exercise, if you want to call it that, that really brought the black concerns to white attention.
Being born and raised in the United States, what sort of impact did what Martin Luther King say have on you and your generation?
I think it was very crucial. After all, it was just a year after the speech, or less than a year, that Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is the fundamental backbone of the equality legislation that has come forward ever since. It forced the United States, the government, to take an active role in ending discrimination rather than merely a passive role. And because that legislation and other legislation like the voting rights legislation and the housing legislation all was going through Congress when I was growing up, it shaped the world. It shaped the people who taught me. It shaped the world I lived in. So it was very much a part of a daily part of my life, daily part of my process, even though, quite frankly, I grew up in an almost all-white community.
Did you get a sense within that white community that people were changing attitudes, that people were really hearing a difference, were thinking differently?
Yes, undoubtedly. I can tell you teachers I had who I knew were either well to the right of the spectrum or well to the left of the political spectrum simply because of the fact that the issues that were in the newspaper headlines every morning were forcing people to confront the issues of the day. Sometimes that revealed some rather unattractive views, actually, but at least it brought things out to the open in a way that was important and allowed people who really had a progressive attitude to be able to feel that they weren't quite so alone in their attitudes.
So hidden racism was exposed.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and not just in the South. I'm from the far North, and there was plenty of racism there too.
Earlier this year, George, I was in Missouri and I visited the former state prison and walked into the cell of Martin Luther King's killer, James Earl Ray. Now, the people I was surrounded by felt really uneasy to be near that cell. I did too, to be honest. And a former prison officer was telling children there the story of what happened to not only James Earl Ray, but obviously the story of Dr. King. What do you think, those children obviously grow up and they hear this story, what do you think the legacy is of this civil rights leader?
Well, the speech that we mark today, which is a central part of that legacy, if you read it as opposed to just hear people talk about it, what impresses you is how traditional it is, that it is Dr. King merely trying to get for black Americans the rights, the privileges, the elements of society that whites had enjoyed for ages. And Dr. King's whole legacy, his whole method of communicating to both the white and the black public during those crucial years was actually in a very conservative one. We want the United States to live up to the generalities and the specifics of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address.
How much of that dream has come true, briefly?
Oh, I think an awful lot of it has. There's still plenty to go. There are still plenty of racists out there. There are still plenty of people who very quietly go about practicing a certain sort of covert racism in American society. But at the same time, it's a whole lot better than it was.